Back into the slot. Sandy Harf is on it and they score. Cornell has increased the lead to two.
Malott shooting, he scores.
Here's Caldas, a shot, score! Yanni Caldas!
O'Neal, Dullemeyer, stop, shoots, and scores! Tristan O'Neal!
And Vanderlyn drives the front, shooting, he scores!
Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to episode 11 of the Good Evening Hockey Fans podcast, coming to you live in Lake Placid, New York, fresh off Cornell's 6-0 win in the ECAC semifinals.
Special edition of the podcast.
We're coming at you with instant analysis. My name is Zach Silver, senior writer on the Cornell LA Sun, joined here by Rafi Gendler and Christina Bulkley in the bowels of Herb Brooks Arena in Lake Placid.
It's like the episode of The West Wing, the steam pipe distribution venue.
I think we're in the boiler room.
That's a reference only you would understand or find funny. Anyway, we're here to analyze and break down Cornell's 6-0 win over Brown here on Friday afternoon to move to the ECAC semifinals championship game Saturday night against either Clarkson or Harvard. Looking
That's right,
like
it's up for 7:30.
Looks like it'll be Clarkson. They're up 2-0 on Harvard right now, but who knows? Harvard's got some fight back in it. But guys, let's just start off. What were your takeaways from today's game? What'd you like? What didn't you like? Obviously, 6-0 is probably something to be happy about usually, but what do you think, Christina?
I mean, obviously, Cornell won. They won 6-0, but it wasn't like they looked phenomenal. I think Schaefer said something about momentum not really going much either way, right? I don't know. I thought they looked good, but it wasn't the best I've seen them play.
Rafi, what about you?
Yeah, special teams, big in the playoffs, and they worked really pretty much perfectly for Cornell tonight. You know, the five-minute major early in the game was, you know, depending on how you look at it, either a gift or a, you know, well, it was a gift either way, whether it was the right call or not. And to get two goals on that all-you-can-eat buffet of a penalty, go up 2-0, the game was over, you know, 8 minutes into the game. And then, you know, penalty kill came up big, and then power play got another one. Special teams doing this well in the playoffs is a good sign.
Yeah, Rafi, you're alluding to Brown's Chris Berger, who was ejected in the opening couple minutes for boarding on Jeff Malott. Malott was shaken up on the play. He stayed in the game and actually later got ejected for his own antics in a penalty for a, I believe it was a
elbow to the head, right?
And a hit to the head in the second period, I believe. So yeah, I mean, that obviously that penalty, 5 minute major, basically, you know, 5 minutes to do whatever they wanted, was pretty helpful, and they got one goal quickly from Matt Nuttall on a point shot, a seeing eye point shot, and then another one.
I still thought it was tipped by Rigos or somebody up front, but I'm the only one who thought it was deflected.
Well, I thought you were talking about the second goal.
No, the second goal was definitely deflected, yeah. That
was deflected. That was second goal, a beautiful tip from Noah Bald on a deflection from a Brendan Smith point shot.
Right.
And this comes a week after Cornell was 1-for-14, I believe, on the power play against Union in three games, and that one goal came with just a few seconds left on a power play, on a kind of a fluky goal from Tristan Mullen.
In the third game, right?
In the third game, yeah. So it took two games without a power play goal, and now they got 3 in 6 chances tonight, so 50% completion.
Well, and the sixth chance was like the last minute of the game. It was already over.
Right. So really three for five,
really, yeah.
Christina, I kind of want to talk a little bit more on your point. You know, obviously it was a 6-0 win, which usually you'd be very happy about, but, you know, It didn't feel like Cornell dominated. I mean, they got outshot 30-22. Brown had, you know, a lot more shot attempts, and, you know, obviously aren't always indicative of play, but it really felt like even though Cornell had the upper hand, they didn't dominate tonight.
Yeah, the play looked pretty back and forth to me. I was surprised. Goliath played a really good game. I was surprised that Brown didn't end up getting any of those goals. And how many do you have there? How many saves Goliath had?
Goliath had 30 saves.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, and that gives Matt Goliath his 14th career shutout, which propels him past Ken Dryden on the Cornell all-time list. Ken Dryden finished his career with 13 shutouts. Obviously, pads were a little smaller, and goals were a little easier to come by. So, you know, 13 back then maybe would have been 20-something now. But still, you know, cool thing just to be able to say that he's passed Ken Dryden something. But, yeah, what did you make of Goliath's play tonight? Obviously, 30 save shutouts, pretty good.
Yeah, he was great, and, you know, we've seen that from him at times this season, and to see him in his All-American form should give the team a lot of confidence heading into tomorrow. I'm curious what you guys think. Harvard, Clarkson up 2-0 right now. Who who does Cornell match up better against? Who should the Red want to face in the championship game?
What do you think, Christina?
If I were Cornell, I'd want to face Harvard. Like the stamina they have coming off of those games against Harvard earlier in the season, because obviously that Madison Square Garden one got them riled up when they lost, and then they came back and they won the next two against Harvard. So I think that that's a team that they're able to perform well against, whereas Clarkson makes me a little more nervous after that last game in Potsdam that we were at, where they tied in the end, and that was a really sad game. I'd rather go against Harvard.
Yeah, I probably agree with that. I mean, Schaefer was asked after the game who he'd rather face, but he didn't bite on that question.
Well, he gave the right answer.
He gave the diplomatic correct answer. Yeah, I mean, I guess you would probably prefer Harvard. I mean, you kind of see Clarkson's flying out there so far tonight. And, you know, even though Cornell dominated Clarkson in a 5-0 win at Lyon earlier in the season, that wasn't really indicative of how Clarkson closed out the season. They were playing, I think, some of the best hockey in the country, and I think one of the hottest or best winning percentages in the last couple months or so. I mean, that's probably, you know, as from a fan perspective, or from a neutral,
fan, I'm excited about the prospects of Cornell Clarkson. Seems to always be close games, two of the best goaltenders in the country.
Yeah, especially, you know, being up here at Lake Placid, where Potsdam is just about an hour and a half away or so. Cornell, you know, Ithaca, about 4.5 hours. But still, you know, both these teams get a pretty good draw at Lake Placid. You know, there weren't so many Cornell fans here today just because probably the timing of the game, you know, wasn't exactly prime time, whereas Clarkson game tonight, it's pretty packed. You know, a lot of Let's Go Tech fans and chants going out about Lake Placid. I want to also talk a little bit about Brown, just the season that they've had. They started, I think, 2-7, and then they made a run all the way to the Lake Placid. They beat Princeton in the quarterfinals, or in the first round, and then upset Quinnipiac in two games in the quarterfinals, the top-ranked Quinnipiac, to make it to Lake Placid. You know, we heard from their head coach after the game. I don't know, what do you guys think of Brown? They weren't really a team with much expectations coming to the year, but made it all the way to Lake Placid.
Yeah, it's a really impressive run. You know, Mike Schaefer and some guys have always said, yeah, they play hard. They're, you know, they don't get enough credit, so maybe they're starting to get some credit, and that's exciting. I thought today pretty clearly wasn't their day. They got down early, and against a good team like Cornell, it's just too much. And then they had a shot there with a 5-minute power play of their own, and it was just atrocious. That did them in. But really impressive season. I expect, sort of like Princeton last year did a similar thing, I expect expectations to be much higher for Brown next year.
Yeah, and I bet just Cornell, I mean, I don't know how much Princeton last year still dawned on them, but kind of felt like they put those demons to bed a little bit tonight with, you know, last year getting upset by Princeton, and now this year pretty much handling Brown for the most, I mean, at least on the scoreboard today. I'm sure that was
last year Cornell absolutely dominated the first period and was up 1-0, and today Cornell, you know, was the better team in the first period but didn't absolutely dominate and was up 3-0 after 20 minutes. I think that's the difference, was they put the puck in the net and didn't leave anything to chance or let a bad bounce, you know, end their season or end their run in the tournament.
Yeah, and, you know, depth scoring came out and reared its head again today. Matt Nuttall, Noah Ball, Tristan Mullen, Morgan Barron, Joe Leahy, and Kyle Betts are your goal scorers. Pretty much everyone but everyone but Barron is not your typical goal scorer, especially with Joe Leahy. His first goal of the season came in the playoffs, and it made four Cornellians scoring their first goals of the season in the playoffs. I think that's pretty cool, pretty remarkable.
Yeah, there have been four playoff games, and four Cornell skaters have scored their first goals of the season, which is fun.
Yeah. Noah Ball continued his postseason tear. I believe he has 7 points this postseason after only about 4 the entire regular season, which is in itself really remarkable. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing that you need to going forward. And, you know, especially with tonight kind of locking up Cornell, at the very least, an at-large bid to the tournament. You know, still stuff could go wrong and they could lose out on an at-large bid. If you win tomorrow night, you don't need to worry about it at all. But, yeah, I mean, Cornell's kind of in the driver's seat now.
It gives you the secondary scoring. It gives you a lot of confidence and ability offensively going up against a team like Clarkson, you know, who's got a Nico Sturm-type guy, one of the best defensive forwards in the country, who can match up with a Barron and Donaldson-type player. You know, if your fourth line is producing a guy like Sturm, or the best defenseman, the best defensive forwards, can't be on the ice all the time.
All right, well, unless you guys have any final thoughts. Yeah.
Face-off tomorrow night, 7:30, between Cornell and either Clarkson or Harvard. It should be a good one.
You'll hopefully hear from us again tomorrow night. We hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Good Evening Hockey Fans podcast, episode 11. Once again, I'm Zach Silver, joined by Rafi Gendler and Christina Bulkley. We'll see you tomorrow night. Good evening, hockey fans.